My name's Carl Rawlinson, and I run a woodland creation organisation called Plant Bomb.
Graham Makepeace-Warren, CEO of Manx Wildlife Trust.
Talking about the forthcoming evening, 14th of April, at the Peel Centenary Centre, which is No Trees, No Seas with Carl and the Plant One Cornwall. First off, just give us a sort of précis then about what the evening, I know it's a film and then talk and Q&A session afterwards, Carl, just give us a background on exactly what we're talking about when we're saying No Trees, No Seas.
So to give you a bit of a background, Plant One is a woodland creation organisation. We're based down in the southwest here. And we've got a mission and vision to restore woodlands, but also importantly to reconnect people back to our kind of arboreal past. And we've just launched this campaign called No Trees, No Seas. And in the campaign, we're being guided by some science that we've been working with and had been privy to, and that basically shows how important our forests are to our coastal ecologies and our marine habitats. And in fact, these two ecosystems aren't divided. They're actually working together as one to support and nourish each other.
Tell us a bit about Plant One Cornwall then.
I started off life as a tree surgeon. So I was, spent a lot of my career kind of arguing to keep trees rather than cut them down, which made me kind of a bad tree surgeon, really. I sort of come back from a day's work kind of skint because I would just have argued a case for keeping an oak tree rather than removing it. And I kind of, from that kind of career, I really kind of grew to love trees and have this kind of passion for our woodlands. And I started Plant One off the back of that passion, but then something kind of dawned on me, as I investigated this kind of woodland world, I started to realize that we're a forested island that's cut all its trees down. We've deforested it. And now, especially down here in Cornwall, we're one of the most deforested areas in one of the most deforested countries in Europe.
I didn't realise Cornwall was so bad. Was that sort of a heritage of the mining industry down there?
Yeah, absolutely that. I mean, we've had a few things that have really impacted on our woodland cover. We should have sort of 80% woodland cover here, and it wasn't that long ago that we would have had this lush temperate rainforest that would have stretched up all the way through our Celtic regions from France into Cornwall, into Wales, across the Isle of Man, into Ireland and into Scotland, this interconnective western woodland. Cornwall has suffered deforestation because of its mining, because of its shipbuilding and because of agriculture, but also because it's a peninsula that sticks out into the sea. Natural regeneration is quite hard to get going, so you actually have to have a bit of a helping hand when it comes to re-establishing those woodlands.
And then the talk over here then in the film, in the No Trees, No Seas, this is sort of taking it a bit further from just, again, tree planting and reforestation, and this new research, which, and I was just talking to Graham briefly beforehand, I must admit, it's completely new on me, this link, how restoring forests can actually help to revive oceans and bring back fish stocks. So, because Graham was saying, I'd sort of heard a bit, but I'd thought about it the other way around, I think, Graham, yeah?
Yeah, so I know there's been some work in Hampshire around sort of rebeds along watercourses to hold nutrients back. But in actual fact, in my conversations with Carl, it's almost the other way around, isn't it, Carl?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how these two, what we kind of have always thought to be two distinct and separate ecosystems, actually there is this kind of really entwined relationship that's happening, and the research is absolutely fascinating. There's some great work going on in countries like Canada and Japan who have this intrinsic link and this intrinsic understanding with the forest and the ocean, but very little happening here. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying, we're a forested island, and that's quite a rare kind of ecosystem. It's quite a rare habitat, but we remove those trees. And what the research is telling us, and the research being done by Dr. Ben Phillips, Dr. Ian Hendy, Sam Manning of the Woodland Trust, Dr. Lisa Beatty, is that actually the woodlands work to support the ocean, and then the ocean works to support the forest as well. And we can certainly dive into the mechanics behind that as well.
Yeah, it does seem surprising, doesn't it, with the amount of work that's gone on over the years, both obviously within marine ecosystems and also on land, with whether it's biodiversity or whether it's replanting or Celtic rainforests and such like. Is this the first time that this real strong link has been discovered?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly in the UK that we know of. I mean, you know, there is fantastic work happening in Japan, and there's some fantastic work happening in Canada around this. And this is where this kind of whole idea came from. Sam Manning went on a research trip to Canada and saw the work that was happening out by the First Nations there. And they truly understood that link, that if you were going to restore the ecosystems of coastal regions, you had to start with the forest. Because if you didn't repair the forest, if you didn't restore the forest, we're always on the back foot. And then Japan has these things called Uwatsuki forests, which translates as fish forests. They understand the link between fisheries and forests so much so that within their important fish nurseries, they have a designated area of 60 to 70% woodland cover. And those are like akin to our kind of SSSI kind of designations. These are areas of forested land that has to have a certain woodland cover that supports their fish nurseries. And there's a, you know, we talk about it in the film, but there's this Japanese proverb, to catch a fish, plant a tree. So it just shows how embedded in their culture this connection between forests and oceans really are.
So how did you come across the research then, Graham, with bringing Carl over?
Well, you'll probably remember from last year, Howard Merlin Hanbury Tennyson came over to give a talk around his book on temperate rainforests, Our Oak and Bones. And he actually put me in touch with Carl. And I think, if I remember correctly, Carl, we hail from the same neck of the woods, don't we, in the north? I think.
Yes, yeah, we do, mate. Yeah.
So we had a good chat, and I was very interested, as I say, with what Carl is doing through Plant One and also No Trees, No Seas. And very interested by the idea that there's clearly a big link. There's a lot of similarities between Cornwall and the Isle of Man. As you know, we're doing a lot in terms of temperate rainforest restoration in the island. In fact, we're finishing our tree planting at Craigie Cowan this coming weekend. So 35,000 trees on that site. And what we probably hadn't realised previously was just what sort of effect that would have on our coastlines and our seas, which is obviously a large part of our territory here in the Isle of Man. So it instantly seemed to me like something that would be very interesting. And obviously talking to Carl, finding out that he would be launching this film around this time of year, I thought, well, that's just great. Let's get Carl over. We'll have an exclusive premiere of the film here in the Isle of Man, and then we can have a Q&A around the work behind it.
So you mentioned a little bit more, or delving a little bit deeper into the mechanics, Carl. Then just give us again, sort of go in that direction, as it were. How is it actually sort of working, if you're explaining to someone how this link works between increased sort of forestation and bringing up more trees and actually helping to improve the health of the oceans and fish stocks?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, Japan and Canada, this is where this science is really kind of taking off, and they're using this science to restore their fisheries. And it shows that in woodland estuaries in Japan, there's a 200% increase in in plankton in those woodland estuaries. So there's many ways that this kind of sharing of nutrients and energy is happening within the forest and the ocean. But to give you kind of an understanding of the mechanisms, you've got to kind of think of our woodlands like a tea bag, and what they're doing is they're filtering nutrients and then putting them back into our watercourses. And it's those nutrients that create essential chemicals that are absolutely essential to organisms like plankton. So these are our woodlands are holding back pollutants. They're holding back nutrients from the land, from agriculture, from pollutants that would otherwise enter our watercourse, and they're keeping them on the land. But as that water gets filtered through the woodland mosaic and the soil composition, they filter out the pollutants and actually create a humic acid that makes iron bioavailable to plankton, and that makes plankton bloom. It could be one of the things that we're seeing that is actually declining plankton, is that loss of forestation in our important fish nurseries. And then the complexity of the root systems that are working across the land that's simply holding back that runoff. Now, if you drive around, and I'm sure you have the same kind of problem in the Isle of Man, but if you drive around when it's absolutely on a wet, rainy day, you'll see all that runoff just piling into the estuaries, into the rivers, into our watercourses, and it's smothering our mill beds, it's smothering our seagrass beds, and it's creating these muddy estuaries. And we're starting to forget that our estuaries shouldn't be like this. They shouldn't be these kind of mud funnels going out to sea. They should be lush ecosystems, ecotones within themselves, which would provide habitat for nursing fish and create that really important ecotone between the land and the sea. But one of the most fascinating mechanisms that I kind of really love to talk about is the salmon and how salmon are in fact a woodland creature, and we need to start thinking about salmon as a woodland creature.
Now that is something I'm just smiling here with Graham, because I must admit I had never thought of salmon as a woodland creature before now.
Well, they're a fascinating part of our ecosystem. They're an ecosystem engineer, really. I mean, what salmon do, unlike any other animal, is they feed in the deep ocean. You know, quite a lot of the migratory salmon feed off the deep ocean trenches near Greenland, and as they transition into our watercourses, they stop eating from that marine environment, and they prepare themselves for their freshwater journey. And these are a biomass bomb of deep ocean nutrients that swim up the estuaries, up the rivers, up the streams, and in the environment that we once had in Cornwall and in the Isle of Man and places like this, they would have gone to the headwaters, which would have been in the woodlands. And if you think of the salmon nations like Norway, Japan and Canada, where this biomass pump is still happening, thousands of tons of this biomass is heading into the woodlands, where they then spawn and then they die, and they're predated on by birds of prey or by bears, and their carcasses are spread across the woodland floor. And as those marine nutrients go back into the woodland, in Canada, where this is still, this cycle is still very much present, 20% of the nutrients in the forest floor come from the deep ocean, and it's this mechanisms that's creating that making that happen, alongside with your white-tailed eagles, your ospreys, which would be foraging in the ocean, bringing those marine nutrients into the woodland again and putting them back onto the forest floor. So the question for the No Trees, No Seas campaign is, what does it mean that we've separated those two ecosystems, and how can we reignite that joined ecosystem again?
It's fascinating. It really hadn't crossed my mind, that link, before. Am I just being slow on that one, Graham? Is there something that's crossed your path before now that you thought about it in this way?
No, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, we all learn at school about the precipitation cycle, you know, the way the rain comes from the sea, but we don't learn about the nutrient cycle, which is arguably more important. And I think Carl makes a really good point there. And the thing I find most exciting is, you know, obviously we've got places like Laxey here, which is, you know, Viking for salmon. We know they're used to be lots of salmon in that river, and we're looking at tree planting further up that watercourse, which could have exactly the sort of impacts that Carl's talking about. Wouldn't it be amazing if the work that Manx Wildlife Trust is doing to restore temperate rainforest in the Isle of Man could bring back our salmon, could increase our numbers of basking sharks again because it brings the plankton back? It's all linked, and it's all fantastic, and it really excites me. So I'm really looking forward to having Carl over and seeing the film and speaking to him.
Absolutely. And I was just thinking exactly that, really, Carl, as well. I mean, the work, as Graham was saying, that the MWT have been doing over the year, particularly up in the north, and the increased forestation there, is this basically sort of feeding it directly into the sort of work you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think what the really, and as sort of Graham has talked about there, I think the really exciting opportunity here is to kind of galvanise support for woodland creation across people that might not be so, might be a little bit disenfranchised or not really considered how important woodlands are. If you're a fisherman, if you enjoy healthy, clean waters, if you enjoy surfing, if you enjoy all of these amazing activities that you can do from an ocean, Well, supporting woodland creation could be one of the key things to actually making sure that we have a healthy ocean. So, yeah, I'm really excited by the kind of galvanizing effect that the No Trees, No Seas campaign has. And it's, really looking forward to coming to the Isle of Man and seeing firsthand the work that you're doing and learning from that and seeing what how I can also bring some of that back to Cornwall.
When we're saying planting up in trees, reforestation, is the type of tree important? I.e., you see a lot of obviously monoculture, we're doing sort of pine plantations and such like. Are we talking specifically about mixed broadleafed plantations or trees coming in, or does the actual type or species of tree play a part?
I'd love to hear from what the work you guys are doing in the Isle of Man. I'm sure it's probably the same mosaic if it's temperate rainforest.
Yeah, very much so. So it is the classic oaks, hazel, the usual deciduous mixed native broadleaf woodland, trying to replace a lot of that boring, Sitka spruce plantation monoculture that we all know when we walk through there has very little wildlife value. And so, as I say, we're finishing at Craigiecowan this weekend. If you go up there now, there's already trees as tall as I am, and you can see the species mix in there and just how much that is doing for the local wildlife. So it's a very different image to perhaps what people have grown up in a generation here, used to these sort of plantations that were planted in the 70s that are very boring monocultures.
So having that mix is important.
Massively, yeah. It's not just a case of, an oak, a hazel, a rowan, something else. We'll actually build in copses so that there might be a little hazel glade, or that a little copse of oak trees, because that's how they would occur naturally. It's trying our best to recreate those natural habitats as they would have been.
And then again, I suppose on the sort of a broader, or taking a broader sort of stroke at the whole issue here, again, I suppose it's very important either whether the work you're doing in Cornwall, the work here on the Wildlife Trust, this. As you mentioned in your own sort of aims of the campaign, this fostering collaboration between different organisations and, I assume, getting sort of governments on board as well?
Well, collaboration, as you know, is really important to everything we do at Manx Wildlife Trust, and we wouldn't have been able to do the tree planting. We wouldn't be finishing Craigiecowan this weekend if it wasn't for the support of the Isle of Man Woodland Trust. So really good collaboration there between the Wildlife Trust and the Woodland Trust, which has been really successful and will continue as we continue planting up more of our sites going forward. As with all these things, government can play a really important part. In the UK currently, you can get tree planting grants, you can get money towards tree planting. We don't have that in the Isle of Man, so that makes life difficult for us. It means we have to raise those funds elsewhere. We have to build our own tree nursery to grow the trees that we need. So that kind of support and legislation from government can be really helpful.
And do you find increasing interest in your work down in Cornwall, Carl?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the kind of interesting thing about the No Trees, No Seas campaign. And a bit like what Graham was saying, collaborations are the key at the heart of this. The problem that we faced for quite a long time in the kind of conservation or restoration sector is people are working individually and also going after the same pot of money. You have some great organisations, but what we're trying to do with the No Trees, No Seas is pull everyone together so that we can come up with a picture, a picture of what a good win is, and then use that to kind of maybe tell a joined up picture, and then go after, all go after the same pot of money, and use that to kind of as a collaborative effort. But Cornwall's well known for its coastline, and that's our kind of brand, that's our USP, but people don't realize what fantastic woodlands that we've got there, and now how important they are to that amazing coastline. So this is really highlighting that for people in Cornwall, and it's amazing to see people get behind it.
It's a fascinating topic. Something, again, it's really, I found it very interesting reading about and hearing from you today, Carl, and I must admit I'll be fascinated to see where this actually goes, and hopefully it'll, as you say, will actually have a major effect over the years and decades to come if people get on board with this one. When is the actual talk then, Graham, and how can people want to go along? How do they get involved?
Yeah, of course, it's Tuesday, 14th of April. Doors are 7 p.m. for a 7:30 p.m. start at Peel Centenary Centre. Tickets are £10 and they are selling fast, so if you're interested in coming along, please do book soon. And you can do that by going to mwt.im/events.
Terrific, and thanks very much indeed for sparing the time from tree planting to talk to us today, Carl.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks. Really looking forward to the event, and yes, see you there.
wild thing.